Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Chinese checker.
While in Beijing, I will visit a clean thermal power plant built with GE and Chinese technology. It serves as an example of the kind of job-creating, bilateral, public-private collaboration that we need so much more of.
On her way to Asia, Secretary of State Clinton says global warming is an opportunity for cooperation between Japan, China, and the West. Global warming, what doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. A diplomatic climate change on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Adora Udoji is away. Femi Oke is back. Femi, good morning. What do we need to be thinking about this morning?
Good morning there. Hello there to you, John. Asian markets closed down this morning. That was because of news of Japan's economy shrunk at its fastest rate in 35 years. A no car czar instead of a car czar. The White House says that Obama will appoint a full task force. And John, you've got the big top headline.
Well, yes, the top story is Hillary Clinton on her first overseas trip since becoming Secretary of State. She spoke on human rights on a high-profile visit to China as First Lady. This time, she'll also talk economy and regional security concerns like North Korea. After today's Japan visit, she'll be in China, South Korea, and Indonesia. We're going to talk about the trip's significance with one of our BBC colleagues covering the story in just a moment. And after the top story, Femi?
Well, we've got some new numbers from Japan that show the economy there shrinking by more than 12% on an annual basis. That's more than triple the drop in the U.S. economy. The report sent Asian markets tumbling. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and top White House economic adviser Lawrence Summers will lead the panel on fixing the auto industry. Tomorrow is the deadline for GM and Chrysler to submit plans on how they can repay billions in government loans. Tomorrow, the president will sign the stimulus bill into law in Denver. Venezuela voted to give President Hugo Chavez a shot at remaining in office through most of the next decade. Chavez won a national referendum to end term limits. He can run for another six-year term in 2012. At least 30 are dead in Pakistan's northwest after a suspected U.S. missile strike. It's the latest in a series of attacks on the region that's a hotbed for militant activity. John.
Yes. Well, coming up this hour, America opens a new door to citizenship. The catch is immigrants will have to serve in the military to get it. Also, what President Obama has learned politically from the tough stimulus bill fight. If you use Facebook, you've probably seen the 25 random things. Millions of people have posted long lists of details about their lives that you may or may not know. Well, whether you use Facebook or shun it, we want to hear from you. What has someone told you about a friend, themselves, a celebrity, a political leader that you wish they hadn't? What do you wish you could hear? Random things about people you wish you didn't know. You got any, Femi?
I once spotted my father making a late night trip to the bathroom
Too
when I was very young.
Too much information. Tell
That's
us your
what
story
I thought at the
877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
It's The Takeaway on WNYC 93.9 FM and WNYC.org on this President's Day. Good morning. I'm Richard Hake. It's 28 degrees. We do have mostly cloudy skies right now in Central Park. President Obama plans to sign that $787 billion stimulus bill tomorrow. And New York's senior senator Charles Schumer says the American people wanted Congress to do something quickly, and here it is.
They want us to get people to work and keep people in their jobs. They want us to rebuild the infrastructure, and they want us to help the middle class. That's what our bill does.
Schumer appeared on ABC News yesterday. The NYPD has begun training officers to use assault rifles to fend off a Mumbai-style terror attack. About 130 officers will get training with semi-automatic rifles. They'll also be drilled on close-quarter combat at the department's fake cityscape located at a firearms training facility at Rodman's Neck in the Bronx. The NYPD already has 400 emergency service officers who know how to use assault rifles, but they wanted additional officers to receive training as reinforcements in case terrorists invade the city in multiple locations in a lengthy siege. The American International Toy Fair is underway in New York, and toy manufacturers are remaining optimistic in the face of the economic crisis.
I think we have everything from price points to brands that consumers love. So we feel in a pretty good place, even though we are very cognizant that the discretionary spending is going to be less than it was in the past.
Mattel president Neil Friedman says the company understands money's tight and adds that 85% of his company's toys cost less than $30.
WNYC is supported by
NJIT, New Jersey Science and Technology University, offering more than 50 bachelor degree programs in fields ranging from engineering and architecture to computing science, business, and technology management. Open house on Sunday, February 22nd. More at njit.edu.
Mostly sunny today with highs in the upper 30s. 28 degrees right now. It's WNYC at 6:06.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org, and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. A lot to think about in this segment. In a moment, we're going to talk to two people directly affected by an alleged defendant or inmate for hire scheme in Pennsylvania that was reported on first by the New York Times last week. We have people actually affected by that, direct victims of something that is really kind of difficult to believe. I've been thinking about it all weekend. But first, Japan announced that its GDP, gross domestic product, dropped at an annual pace of 12.7% in the last quarter of 2008. It is an enormous drop, and is just one of the issues on the agenda of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who arrived in Tokyo today on a trip to Asia, which is both an indicator of just how much the U.S. and Asia have at stake in this economic downturn and how much Asia is a priority for the new Obama administration. Joining us from London, from the BBC, our partner Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Not at all. Thank you.
So first off, this Japan GDP number, I suppose, is not an enormous surprise, but what a demoralizing statistic as Hillary Clinton arrives in Tokyo.
Well, it's a hugely demoralizing statistic, and it really underscores the fact that obviously Asia and the West are locked together in this economic embrace, both being buffeted by the economic storms. And I think whilst the economy isn't perhaps the central issue for the Secretary of State, I think the Japanese will be looking for some reassurance from the Americans on the diplomatic front that their relationship with Washington won't simply be overshadowed by this much more fundamental relationship and with China, which is obviously going to be the last port of call on the Secretary of State's trip.
Well, and there was a signal of some reassurance, it seems to me, to China. Hillary Clinton talking about global warming being an opportunity for economic cooperation. She's going to visit some clean energy facility in Beijing. It seems as though the normal kind of human rights dialogue that has always been in a very sort of contentious back and forth between the U.S. and China is not the first order of business for Hillary Clinton, or am I wrong?
Well, I think she's still going to look at those issues, but I think what we are going to see is a rebalancing of the relationship with China. I think a fresh start. I think some of the ambivalence of the Bush years, the concerns about China, is it a partner or is it a potential rival? Certainly from what we've heard from Hillary Clinton over recent days, she sees China decidedly as a partner. It's clear that China is fast becoming the indispensable nation, if you want to call it that, a term that was often has been used about the United States. But if you look at all the vital transnational issues, the economy, dealing with proliferation, crucially global warming, it's clear that China, other countries in Asia as well, of course, but China is really the crucial player with a seat on the Security Council, this vast economy, despite some recent problems, it's going to be growing hugely in the future. And so China and the United States are locked together on a whole range of issues, and it's that partnership that the Secretary of State wants to pursue.
Well, cooperation tension certainly takes center stage, Jonathan Marcus. There's also a visit to Indonesia and Korea, where North Korea will be an issue. We'll be checking with you later in the week as that develops. Jonathan Marcus, of course, BBC diplomatic correspondent, our partner, the BBC. He spoke with us from London at Bush House there in London. Now, last week, you may recall, if you were listening to the program, New York Times reporter Ian Urbina laid out a scheme between judges and defendants in juvenile court in Pennsylvania, reminiscent of something Charles Dickens might have actually written about.
The two judges at hand pled guilty yesterday. They pled to having engaged in a scheme in which they initially set up a relationship between the courthouse and a project to build two detention centers. And then subsequently, they began essentially funneling the kids that they were sentencing to the centers, all for a hefty $2.6 million kickback.
Think about it. I did all weekend. $2.6 million and how many lives? Scarred forever. Thousands of children and teens allegedly sentenced to juvenile detention centers by the two judges from Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, who are now, under investigation. What does that mean for families and teenagers who all weekend have been thinking about what happened to them? Joining us now are two of the individuals who this story has directly affected, 17-year-old Hillary Transue and her mother, Laureen Transue. First of all, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
us. We were happy to.
Hillary, what have you been thinking about all weekend?
Obviously the sentencing of Judge Civarella and Conahan. Is that how it's pronounced?
You're closer to the situation than I am. Civarella and I don't have the pronunciation for the other judge. But what were you sentenced to? And both of these judges had reputations for sentencing people very harshly. And were you surprised when your sentence was handed down?
I was sentenced to 3 months in a wilderness camp. And then following that would be 6 months of probation. My thoughts on when the sentence was actually handed to me was, this is completely appalling and absurd.
What was the offense?
Harassment, misdemeanor 3, was the actual charge.
Laureen, mother of Hillary, the juvenile court is supposed to have as its focus rehabilitation and returning people to society, not scarring them and necessarily punishing them. What was your reaction to the sentence, and how has your daughter sort of responded to what's happened?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to realize that when you enter the juvenile system, you've realized that your child may have made an error. In this case, it was a very small one. And you think that the juvenile justice system is going to kind of help you guide your child and provide maybe some discipline, but appropriate to whatever the incident was. So when I went into court, I believed what the officer and juvenile probation had told us, which is that she would most likely get community service and possibly probation. I thought that probation was a little harsh for what happened, but, that's what I expected. But when the gavel came down in less than 60 seconds of a hearing and the judge said adjudicated delinquent, which basically means my custody as a parent of my child was taken away, was terminated, and the state now had custody and was placing her, I literally became weak in the knees. I needed help to leave the courtroom.
Now,
I couldn't believe it.
Laureen, you're suddenly in such a difficult situation as a mother. I mean, as you say, the state's taken custody of your child. You still want to maintain some sort of connection between, your child, even during this situation. Are you drawn into maybe supporting the verdict in some sense as a way of, well, this is what happens, and then to learn that it's all about money for the judges must be deeply painful for you?
The money part of it, the $2.5 million, added insult to injury. From the very beginning, the reason I contacted the Juvenile Law Center was that the quote-unquote punishment did not fit the crime. And then to find out that it wasn't just an arrogance or an abuse of power or ego that sent my daughter away, it was a few measly dollars. That was incredible, just incredible. It literally made me ill and made me just look at the justice system in this county and think, this is the system that was appointed to protect children and to support children and instead to abuse them. I feel it's almost child abuse.
Well, almost.
Selling kids for money.
Almost, yeah. I mean, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania is where this took place. As you say, when you heard the sentence, you immediately contacted legal experts to try to figure out if there was something more to this. Is there a permanent consequence to your family, do you think, Lorene, as a result of what happened here? The juvenile system is all about expunging the record if people are, expressing good behavior.
Well, that's ultimately what was supposed to happen, but it doesn't. And you're not told that either. A lot of people believe that when a child turns 18, their record is gone. That's not true in this county. You have to petition the court for that.
Well, it's going to be a tough road back. Let me just ask Hillary just one last question. Hillary, are you prepared for the next year, quickly?
Am I prepared for the next year?
Are you going to bounce back?
Well, I should hope so. To tell you the truth, I really was genuinely disappointed to find out that this was going on. Like my mom said, just completely added insult to injury is that,
Both of you got a really tough slog ahead. I really appreciate you joining us. So Lorene and Hillary Transhue, victims of a kid for money scam in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.